And now the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories and sing some songs and talk to some good people with great voices. Acclaimed songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Willie Carlisle sings about class and even Shakespeare on his new album of originals and covers. Hear a live set from Willie on the show today. Deb Talon of popular early 2000s duo The Weepies is out with a solo record of beauty and heartbreak. It's quite captivating music, and I can't wait for you to hear Deb. Plus, Kerrville songwriting winner with a thrilling voice, Olivia Ellen Lloyd, and a visit with Glenn Gullickson of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library, which is set to open its doors on July 4th, 2026. I'm Tom Brousseau. It's great to have you along today. From Ireland, and influenced by both top 10 hits and traditional music, Niall McNamee always showcases what I would call his beat. He's a musician that, when I first heard him, I admired him immediately and dearly. He's got direction, and yet he wonders about that direction, a notion that is thoughtfully supported musically in his latest single, Another Life. We begin today with Niall McNamee.
Hello there, this is Niall McNamee, and I'm here to talk about my influences and the process of making my debut album, Glass and Mirrors, which is out in October. It's a funny thing with influences. It's a bit of a mix. I've always loved Shane McGowan and the Pogues. But then I also love Frank Sinatra. Then I like Christy Moore. And then I like Dean Martin. It goes back and forth between the traditional and the standards. But then I also love, you know, Oasis and those big bands and Coldplay. Some people don't like putting them in the same sentence, but I love both. And it's funny, I started recording my album in Belfast 2 years ago and kind of naively thought that I'd be able to record a debut album in 3 weeks and ended up taking 2 years. The things that I like about writing songs, and I think that the major influences that come from these bands is storytelling. That's what I hold in the most importance with songwriting and making this album. It's about telling a clear story about something that matters in the hope that your story might resonate with other people, the struggles that people go through in life. I think the songs that I like are often about underdogs achieving things. These songs are to give people hope. Life is a difficult place to be, and everyone has their worries and their past, their history, their demons. And we overcome them every day by going out and making the best of ourselves. It's a joy to get the music out there to people, and it's a joy to hear these songs mean stuff to people. And if you go and listen to it, I hope you enjoy it.
Westport Harbor, there's a rake of things to do. There's a shop John Lennon's Island, and there's time to think of you. There's a lighter set of boxing club and an island sunset too. There's a magpie with a mullet and he talks of old you. I went to Westport Harbor for it called me in a dream. Oh, I'm battered from the town before me head is spinning steam. And the wheels and I am spinning from the girl of all my dreams. When the magpie with the bullet tapped upon the weapon screen. Down in Westport Harbor there's a rake of things to do. There's a shop, John Lennon's Island, and there's time to think of you. There's a lighter and a boxing club and an island sunset too. There's a magpie with the bullet and he talks to me. Well, I went to sit and eat a bacon sandwich by the sea. When the magpie with a bullet landed down and spoke to me. Now don't you miss your love, he said, she'd love it here with you. I said, you're right, forgot, but also that's a lovely mullet too. I thought he saw an ice cream, but the sugar solved it all. But I found it was a Westport Cruises advertising stall. And the magpie came right back to me with his mullet fire and tall. Said, you miss her, don't you, pal, she'd be the thing to solve it all. Down in Westport Harbor, there's a rake of things to do. There's a shop, John Lennon's Island, and there's time to think of you. There's a lighter Santa box. There's a man with me the bullet and he talks to me. Well, I went to buy a tobacco in the local hardware store. All the paintings in the window took and pulled me to the floor. God, she loved them, said the magpie from the minutes there before. Take your mullet and your Jennifer way out the shopping door. Well, I took me clothes off quickly for to swim out in the bay. When the magpie put his boots up on the sides and joined the play. God, didn't she love swimming, so the magpie he did say. Ah, fuck off now, magpie, leave me, for my heart is broke today. Down in Westport Harbor, there's a wreck of things to do. There's a shop, John Lennon's Island, and there's time to think of you. There's a lighter Santa box, a club and an island sunset too. There's a magpie with a bullet and he talks to me. Well, I bought a jar from yonder bar and gazed upon the view. Oh, the beauty of a broader tear, and then I bought a few. Then the magpie put his whiskey down, reminding me the curse. She's the shining light and greatest sight within the universe. Well, I sat there with the magpie, begged him please to leave my grid. And the magpie smiled and did agree, at least I thought he did. Then he looked back at my heavy brow, said I don't take the piss. I'm a magpie, not a squirrel, I will say it as it is. Down in Westport Harbor, there's a rake of things to do. There's a shop. up to Lennon's Island, and the strange thing he knew. There's a lion inside a box, he's clubbing an island sunset too. There's a magpie with a mullet, and he talks a bull. I put stones inside my pockets for to pull my body down. And the magpie with the mullet loaded all the stones he could. Said, "You're foolish thinking life without your girl could ever be good. And I'll sleep upon the rocks tonight," the magpie helped me sing. And before he did, it was a while since last I caught a wing. He's right, you know, the way to go is down within the blue. Westport Harbor, mullet magpie, and the thoughts and dreams of you. Oh, down in Westport Harbor, there's a red things to do. There's a shotgun on an island, and the spine to think of you. There's a lion inside a box, a globe on an island, something too. There's a magpie with a mullet, and he talks of only you. Thank you!
Niall McNamee with Magpie with a Mullet. And another song called Another Life. This is the Great American Folk Show, and we continue with new music from Olivia Ellen Lloyd, an emerging artist with a lot of Americana promise. I hear a little Gillian Welch in her voice, but also an artist that I really love from way back when, a gal by the name of Connie Converse. Check out these songs that she sent in, especially for the show for you today. One's entitled Beautiful Mess, and the other one is called Live With It. It is Olivia Ellen Lloyd.
It ain't love that I'm afraid of, it's the desire. It'll run right through your conscience like a raging prairie fire. When I saw you at the bar with your eyes boring into me, I knew I was a goner, I knew where I had to be. Never wanted anyone like I want you. Just because I never tell you don't mean that it ain't. Never wanted anything like I want that. Honey, what do? With this beautiful mess. And I'm not worrying about sex, baby, it's sleeping next to you. 'Cause I cannot control the way my sleeping body moves. Ever since I was a young girl, man, I had all these bad dreams. So I shiver and I shake, but don't you worry about me. Never wanted anyone like I want you. Just because I never tell you don't mean that it ain't true. Never wanted anything like I want that. Honey, what do? With this beautiful mess. And I'm not afraid of dying, no, it's growing old. Forgetting who I am, a regret and the path I chose. So if it's all the same to you, how about we take it day by day? Or we could always draw a map if we begin to lose our way. Never wanted anyone like I want you. Just just because I never tell you don't mean that it ain't true. Never wanted anything like a white bass. Honey, what do we do with this beautiful mess? My name is Olivia Ellen Lloyd, and I am a songwriter and musician based somewhere between West Virginia and Brooklyn. Right now, it is 7 p.m. in Brooklyn, New York, and I am sitting at a little desk I bought at an antique mall somewhere near Nashville. There's a stack of books to my right, a stack of books over my head, and a few photos of my nieces and nephews directly at my eyeline. You may hear the faucet from my kitchen dripping during this segment because I can't get it to stop, and I'm just in the one little room. Still, I love this little room in Brooklyn, except for the fact that I can't seem to keep it neat and tidy for more than a day. The dishes, the laundry, the endless stream of merch and dirty clothes and cowboy boots that come pouring out of the minivan I use to tour the country, also known as my second home. These things fill my apartment on my downtime. And I never know quite how to get ahead of it all. I've already been fortunate enough to tour thousands of miles this year, and I've got a lot on my plate in the coming months, so I don't think I'll be getting ahead of the chores anytime soon. I grew up in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, which is the same place where my mom grew up, one town over from where my dad grew up, and just a few miles down the road from where my grandparents on either side were raised, and so on and so forth. It's a nice place to live, and I understand why people mostly choose to stick around. I love the community there. But I was born restless, curious, impatient. My music follows that same restless spirit, and I tussle with big, grand questions about what it means to be a person and to live a purpose-driven life with the same ferocity and intensity that I address the day-to-day glories and tragedies of being alive. Songwriting helps me make sense of the world and myself, which honestly can get kind of tangly sometimes. The borough of Brooklyn holds more people than the entire state of West Virginia. And my hometown in particular has fewer than 2,000 permanent residents. In some ways, I could not have chosen more opposing places to call home. But I've always been a person of two minds. Sometimes I feel at war with myself and my own impulses. Though lately, I've been leaning into the idea that I can contain both things. The need for anonymity and autonomy in a big city, and a love for feeling rooted, for being from somewhere. My newest record, Do It Myself, is about self-ownership and independence. It can be very sad. I love sad songs the most. But my hope is that there is also a vein of, well, hope running through each song. Ever since I released it, I have found myself looking for an excuse to be more hopeful. Hopeful about the development of my music, the trajectory of my career, the future, my future, our planet's future. I think that hope is a nice thing to hang on to, especially right now. And I hope that you can hear it in the songs when you listen, even some of the bleaker ones. Thanks for taking a minute to get to know me, and I look forward to sharing this music with you. She was 25 when her daddy died, and mom had been gone for a long, long time. Too old to be an orphan, too young to have plans of her own. She started staying out late, hit her head in a cloud of smoke, saying, if this don't kill me, do you know something that might do the trick? If this don't kill me, I suppose it I'll learn to live with it. He gassed up the car, knowing the drive was far. He lit out early to beat the rising sun. Forgot his coffee, getting cold on the counter back at home. He didn't know he was dreaming till he woke in a tangle on the road. If this don't kill me, do you know something that might do the trick? If this don't kill me, I suppose that I learn to live with it. I tell you one more time, I swear I'm doing fine. Annie lied to her sister on the phone. So don't you worry, I'll kick this habit and get on the next train home. Oh, my sweet Annie, I hope you're right and you don't leave me all alone. If this don't kill me, do you know something that might do the trick? If this don't kill me, I suppose it I'll learn to live with it. If this don't kill me,
it's a great American folk show. My name is Tom Brusseau. I've been enjoying Willie Carlisle's new album. It's a blend of things. It's familiar and unique. It's traditional but fresh. It features Willie's signature southern matured voice. In short, it's easy on the ears. And the whole thing is infused with positivity. I mean, even the title, Winged Victory, seems to suggest that one can still gain that shiny prize at the end of the race so long as one tries. So I've personally chosen a track from it to be the companion of his live session today. And it's like that thing, what luthiers say, what guitar builders say about special acoustic guitars, that you can feel the box. The box is the body of the guitar, the sound hole and everything inside of the sound hole, such as the bracing and the kerfing. And if you were to relate that to a human being, well, the box of an acoustic guitar is like the human mouth. And when some singers really give it their all, you can really feel their insides. It's a special thing, you know. And I think that you're going to feel all that with Willie today. We're going to start off with this song of his, an old Shakespeare nod. It's called Sound and Fury.
Well, New York and L.A. feel pretty small when you bring your troubles to. And I pack light, but I can't find a different point of view. In another dark room watching old cartoons and blowed up and flattened too. Well, a bluster and a blather at the bottom of the ladder while another guy hangs the moon. I'll make a pretty good deal with the devil. Gonna tickle that baby Jesus. Gonna topple that spire to heaven. Frig on the thing that pleases, dip my toes in the boiling water, sip sugar from the udder of an angel, purse my lips for the sound and fury, signifying nothing, signing na 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 nothing, nothing na na nothing, yeah. I'm a fish for smokes, I'm gonna hunt for snipes, give a parking lot of my lungs my life. Motel bed's pretty comfy in the morning, if I'm not crying, you'll find me snoring. Well, there's waffles in the lobby if you want them, reaping and a sowing, that's a fruit at the bottom. Purse my lips for the sound and the fury, it's big if I find something singing. Na, 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 something, yeah. Something, something, na na na, yeah. Born a lollygagger, so baby, I'm shook. I'm studying the art of the ornery stinker, looking for a good word in a good book. No bad jokes, but a whole lot of thinkers. Well, I told you I was working on a building. Didn't say what kind of building I was building. If you don't like it, you can kick rocks. Just don't kick the rocks of my building. Building something, something. Na 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 yeah, na na something, something na na. I struck a pretty good deal with the devil. I'm still tickling the baby Jesus. Gonna topple that spire to heaven. Frig on whatever pleases. Dip my toes in the boiling water. Pure sugar from the udders of the angels. Purse my lips for the sound and fury. It's big if I find something. Finding something, na na, na na, something. Na na, something. Something, 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 yeah.
So this is a song called Wildflowers Growing, and it came to me really quickly on a unique instrument, on the bouzouki, which is a Greek instrument initially that was brought into the fold in Irish traditional music, kind of later in the 20th century. It was a really easy song to write. I knew I wanted to put it on this new record, Winged Victory, because it had kind of a more contemporary bluegrass feel. It felt a little bit more like somebody who had listened to Nickel Creek and other bands that were kind of the progressive young bluegrass bands of when I was a kid. And it also utilize some chord progressions that I don't really ever get to use. The three chord for music nerds out there is not one I use very often. All in all, it felt like a modality of song that I had never gotten to write before on a kind of record where I was thinking, okay, I'm self-producing for the first time. Let's go wild with it. In this case, literally wild with Wildflowers. It's kind of a song about that moment at a music festival where all the people pack up their instruments and go away. Because the next day, if you pull your instrument out in the same park or street where the music festival was, somebody will stop you and say, hey, you can't play on this street corner. Or sometimes even worse, they'll have a long conversation with you about how they never hear live music anymore. It feels like sometimes we gatekeep and legislate our music so much that it's harder to get to. I wanted to write something that was mournful about that situation. I don't think we all should be wild and free all the time, but I definitely think that we should all get opportunities to grow.
Well, turn away, young Magdalene, morning's on her eyes. We both know we'll turn to stone if we don't act right. So put away your fiddle, your rosin and your bow, 'cause nobody wants to watch wildflowers grow. Bad TV and frozen food in a house we can't afford. The neighbors with bad politics are lonely folks, I'm sure. I want to know a weed from a chestnut tree and a friend from a foe. But nobody knows the names of wildflowers anymore. Peace signs in the alleyway. Jesus saves in a bathroom stall. The poor, the drunk, the angry will medicate and jail them all. They'd roll us up and smoke us. They could make us worth owning. Well, be careful, you tell, that there's wildflowers growing. What parts of me there may it be when I am dead enough?
pile or to a paltry things done right and done wrong. In a parking lot of forget-me-nots growing towards the roads, I'll be there if you care to watch some wildflowers grow. Yeah, I'm going back down where the weather suits my clothes. Come on by and waste some time watching wildflowers grow.
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Golva, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at minnkota.com. You are listening to the Great American Folk Show. My name is Tom Brusseau. Thank you for listening today. I think life is all about moments, tiny little moments. These are the things that probably matter the most. In Medora, North Dakota, a couple of days ago, in Theodore Roosevelt National Park, there's a scenic vista there called Wind Canyon. You got to write that down if you ever go and visit Theodore Roosevelt National Park. And it's very popular. About a 10-minute walk once you park your car and you go up this little pathway. And as you do, you go past sage and lavender and all kinds of other very fragrant, you know, badlands vegetation that seemed to be just totally expressed that night. It's intoxicating, really. And as you get up to the plateau part of Wind Canyon, then you start to realize what this tiny moment is all about. A couple of friends of mine actually came in from Los Angeles, and I thought, this is the thing I'm going to do. We're going to wait, we're going to go up there at dusk, and we'll have a tiny moment. And we did. And it was beautiful. Nobody else was around. You couldn't even see. There's no lights anywhere. You're up there, and you look down on the left-hand side at the horseshoe-like shape of the Little Missouri River, just flowing so peacefully. And as the sun sets, then these colors of the Badlands just burst out, the blacks and the beiges and the rusty colors and the green and the little cacti, even the prickly pears, the pink from that, and the flowers, the state flower, prairie rose, all of that just for a moment, just for a tiny moment. Then we started to hear a sound on the other side of us, on the right-hand side. And we looked down over there, and it looked like 100 at least black rocks, big boulders. But we heard snoring, and we realized it was a herd of buffalo. But not all of them were sleeping. A few were grazing, and we were very still. We didn't want to press our luck. We didn't want to wear out our welcome, so to speak. But then again, being that close to nature, to buffalo, just being as buffalo are, it's just kind of captivating and thrilling too. Rarely do I take photos, and I hardly ever am quick enough to record anything on the fly, but I had my recorder with me right there. Allow me to relive the moment with you. I'm going to take you right now to Wind Canyon, about maybe 10:15 at night, and here's the snoring buffalo. Thank you. I think this is a good moment to segue into something just as beautiful as the North Dakota landscape. It's music by Deb Talon. She's a singer-songwriter from Massachusetts originally, but has lived all over. And as a musician, she's toured all over. I got to know her when she was in a band called the Weepies with her then husband, Steve Tenen, and I was invited to a songwriting session actually with them in Los Angeles. And I'm pretty sure this was in about 2010. It's probably earlier than that. I didn't write that down in my journal, but I do recall that we traded a few songs on that day, and then they catered in a big plate of sushi. It was one of those picture-perfect sunny days in Los Angeles. Deb Talon has one of those kinds of voices that makes you listen and feel. Her new album, I Thought I Saw You, bears this to the listener. You get more than just melody and songcraft. You get a piece of her heart and soul. This is a unique power of being a skilled confessional songwriter. She's going to be in the area in North Dakota. She'll be in Fargo on August 6th at the Broadway Square, and then August 7th at the Miterman House Concert Series. Do not miss that one. The Mitermans own a house, and they do these extraordinary concert series. They live out in Thompson, North Dakota. It's a pleasure to welcome Deb Talon on the Great American Folk Show.
Been played for a fool, but my heart was a lone star. They just lost me. Cold words tossed me like a small boat in the waves. Is this how the big girls sail? For all the time that it saved, I'd have rather gone all the way. For all the time that it saved, I'd have rather gone all the way around.
Hi, I'm Deb Talon, formerly of the folk pop band The Weepies. 6 years ago, I divorced my bandmate and partner of 18 years and returned to being a solo artist. It's been quite a journey. Right after divorcing, I wasn't sure what place I wanted songwriting and performing to have in my life. The last 5 years of my marriage and musical partnership had left some scars, one of them being that when I was on stage, it felt less like a sacred and safe space and more like somewhere I had to watch my words and behavior and be careful to not set off some kind of discord between myself and my partner. In 2019, I began meeting some wonderful musicians in my hometown of Iowa City, and I started collaborating with my talented friend and guitarist, Dan Padley. And I tentatively, during COVID, started playing out a little. Outdoor concerts, mostly in people's backyards, or impromptu outdoor stages set up by venues to create a place people could safely gather and listen to live music. After about a year and a bit post-big life change, it was obvious how much writing and playing songs for people was still what I felt most natural doing, and how much I still loved it. It took about a year of touring, maybe 40 shows or so, for my body to realize I no longer had to brace for possible emotional backlash in anything I said or did during a show. I could relax and just be in the music and give and receive in resonance with audiences, and then playing out became pure joy. And that's where I am now. Touring itself is kind of grueling, so I do it in small spurts of 3 to 5 shows at a time. That allows me to have a life at home, have friendships that I tend to be present for my 3 kids when they're with me. Playing music out for people feels more than ever like being fully alive, and I'm so grateful to be able to do it. In the last 5 years, I've written a lot and recorded 2 albums with my friend Brian Vanderpool of the Wellpennies, who runs a really wonderful studio called Golden Bear in Des Moines, Iowa. One of those albums is out now. It's called I Thought I Saw You. It came out last February. It's on all streaming services, and one of them I'm finishing up in the next couple months. It's really close to being done. I'm looking forward to playing live for anyone attending the Broadway Square Summer Music Series on August 6th in Fargo. Thanks for listening.
I woke up this morning. Obviously, I didn't think about you. Probably I breathed a second time. I felt alive, and there you were in my mind. Fact is, you don't call, you won't care. You don't write it. Fact is, you and I are intertwined despite it. Fact is, you love me, but you try to hide it, don't you? If that's a fact, what am I supposed to do with that? Trapped on a mission, a private one, in a foreign land, caught between the moon and the sun. You sought higher ground, and there you found
your life as you knew it falling down. Fact is, you don't call, you won't care, you don't write it. Fact is, you and I are intertwined despite it. Fact is, you love me, but you choose to hide it, don't you? If that's a fact, what am I supposed to do with that? Someone real. Did I wake you up to things that you don't want to feel? Stuck on a cloud, scared to come down. But clouds keep changing, so do you, you know. I'm still hoping one day you'll come around, one day you'll come around. Despite it, fact is you love me, but you try to hide it, don't you? If that's a fact, what am I supposed to do with that? What am I supposed to do with that? To do with that.
You just heard a live session with Deb Talon. The songs that she performed today, one is entitled Fact Is, and the other one, All the Way Around. Deb Talon will be in North Dakota August 6th in Fargo at the Broadway Square. Don't miss August 7th. She's going to be in Thompson, North Dakota at the Miterman House. That is so much fun. Go there. See her there. Since 2023, construction on the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library in Medora, North Dakota has been at a steady pace. The location atop the same Badlands Butte as the Burning Hills Amphitheater, home to the famous Medora musical, where the views are spectacular. The library has kept a field office in downtown Medora, North Dakota, as a means to show to the town's tens of thousands of yearly visitors just what this new library will look like. Glenn Gullickson is the field office's visitors services assistant. His kind presence and warm demeanor and vast knowledge of the library has been key. Now just 1 year away from its opening, the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library has more than just taken shape. It has developed its own personality. We're going to learn a little bit about Glenn and why he's the perfect fit for the TRPL Visitors Services Assistant. In a word, it's all about storytelling.
My first experience coming to Medora was with my grandparents when I was about 10 years old, and Harold Schaefer was starting the musical and, you know, rehabbing the town, and they were so excited about what was happening here, and it just made a big impression on me. And so during the summer, I manned what is known as the field office in downtown Medora, right across from the post office. And during the summer, it really becomes a visitor center. We open it up and have people come in, and we have a huge model there of the site. We have a model of the building, and we have renderings of the structure and some of the exhibits there, and we have construction pictures. And so we open it up and visitors come in from all over the country.
You keep a little tab how many people
I do. Yes, that last summer we had 7,200 people in the office, and which is double the amount that we had the first year. People are finding us and they're excited about it.
You must get those questions. I mean, people must just not even really know what a presidential library is. What is a presidential library?
That is so much fun to introduce people to. The presidential library basically is to celebrate the life and legacy of the president being honored. So it's really a historical snapshot of those years when the president was in office.
Not every president has a presidential library.
That's right.
There's many.
There are 13 in what is known as a National Archive System. And those extend from President Hoover to George W. Bush is the last one that opened. So 13, and to be part of that system, those libraries house the presidential papers and documents. And then there are about a dozen more that are outside that system, and those are controlled by other organizations, mostly private foundations and organizations. And many of those libraries, some of those don't have the presidential papers. The earlier presidents could do whatever they wanted with their papers. President Roosevelt, for example, gave his papers away at the Library of Congress in Harvard. So our library will not have those papers. But over at Dickinson State, the TR Center has been assembling a digital archives of all of President Roosevelt's documents and writings. And it's a huge project that we are helping to support. And that some of that is available right now from your home computer. And so it's a digital archives rather than the actual papers.
And these presidential libraries, the physical locations, I mean, not all of them, but a great deal of them seem to be in like the home state of that president. But TR, Teddy Roosevelt, he was from Manhattan.
He was.
What's so special about North Dakota?
Yes. President Roosevelt said that he was as much a Westerner as he was an Easterner. He didn't spend a lot of time in North Dakota. When you really look at it, it's not a lot of time, but it made a big impact on him. He once said he never would have been president if he hadn't been in North Dakota. He said if there was one part of his life that he could relive, it would have been his time here in North Dakota. It's interesting that it's outside the state where he had his political career, but New York State did have the opportunity to do this. I guess a couple of times it was tried and it just didn't happen. So we're going to take care of it.
You know, I love this quote. Eddie O'Keefe,
yes.
The CEO, said this really interesting thing, and maybe this will kind of help us kind of solve that question. How does Teddy Roosevelt's library differ from the rest of them? Edward O'Keefe said, the TR Presidential Library and Museum will not be a box in the Badlands with artifacts under glass. The TR Library, like TR's life, will be an experience. And I stopped to think about for a moment, what that means. Can you elaborate that experience?
Sure.
What is that?
Well, we're going to have artifacts, and we're actually getting more artifacts than we really expected to. Private donors, collectors are stepping up. Other libraries are loaning us things. But the TR Library is really a step up, I think, from other presidential libraries that I visited, in that it's going to be an experience. You walk through Teddy Roosevelt's whole life story from his childhood to his legacy. For example, in the cabinet room of the White House, in that exhibit, there'll be an AI Teddy Roosevelt that you'll be able to interact with. In the Amazon exhibit, it's going to be covered with projections, ceiling, floor, all the walls. You're going to feel like you're in the Amazon with Theodore Roosevelt. When President Roosevelt was in office, he had young children. And they were known as the White House Gang. And they took over the attic of the White House and as a playground. There's going to be a playground in the presidential library. So that's what Ed means by that.
By the experience. You get to experience those different years
yes.
of Roosevelt.
We do think that this is a library that children will love. One of the features of the library will be a seek and find. For the children, there'll be almost like a scavenger hunt.
Roosevelt himself loved to play those games.
He did,
and he carried. They didn't stop in his youth. He carried them into the White House, did he?
Yes,
not?
He did. The point to point game, which we we have a version of here in Medora.
He played with all kinds of dignitaries. And played. I heard he played tennis on the White House lawn kind of hashed out some of the political business during games. I think that makes for good resolve, don't you?
I do. Teddy has a big fan club, as I found out in the office, that they just come in and they're so excited about it.
Well, the office is really beautiful. And as you mentioned, you walk in and you see this model of this building that is 1 year away from completion.
That's right.
I mean, it is almost there, actually.
Almost.
And my gosh, to think that we have that building in America, I mean, it's going to be quite something.
Yes, right here in North Dakota. This is something everybody in North Dakota can be proud of. This is a next-level museum. It's world-class. The architecture is outstanding. The way that the building works with nature, that was the architect's intent, that the building just be part of the hill. There are going to be pathways that you're going to want to walk and explore the Badlands. It's really something that we can be proud of.
So many reasons people will be coming to Medora for all the things that we mentioned, and this beautiful building to celebrate this landscape, and of course, Theodore Roosevelt, our 26th president. What a thing it is.
Yes. And remember, Teddy Roosevelt was a conservation president. So we are building a library appropriate for that. It's a very sustainable building. I'm told that when it opens next year, it will be the most sustainable cultural center in the world.
Well, Glenn Gullickson from the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library, thank you so much for visiting with us here today. And I wonder, before you go, could you let our listeners know where they can go for more information?
Yeah, well, we hope they come into the office when they're in Medora. For more information, go to trlibrary.com, and there in the very near future you will find not only, well, we'll have information on the whole project, but coming soon on the website will be information about the grand opening on July 4th next year.
Well, thank you again, Glenn.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the support.
And that's our show for today. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank our guests too. Niall McNamee, Olivia Ellen Lloyd, Willie Carlisle, Deb Talon, and Glenn Gullickson, and the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California. End theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Mary Jones is the talent producer. Elizabeth Brousseau helps out with the digital realm. Eric Dethridge is the editor and producer. And Ann Alquist is the director. Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Golva, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative. I'm Tom Brousseau. May you always find the sun until we meet again.